Ted's going to have to raise up the camera back in the back because all from David, it's gonna, all you're going to see is that from me. So, which is fine with me. I may seem confident, but I am not one for the spotlight. I'll let someone else take that lead. The sweet spot. They talk about when you're playing baseball and you swing the bat and you hit the ball just right in the sweet spot of the bat. And you really can drive that ball. Home run time. It just feels really good. Playing golf, same thing. I don't play golf. Putt-putt is all I pay. But they're saying getting out to Top Golf and you're just hitting that ball and it just sails forever. It just feels so right. My thing is when you take that, you're eating a sandwich. And you bite and bite and bite, and you take that final bite of the sandwich, and it just, everything seems to fit perfectly. I just feel so, that's it. You don't want dessert. You want anything else. You finish the meal, and it was just on the money. Other people can relate to driving to work. And you hit all the green lights. Not because you're driving fast, just because you're driving the speed limit. Air traffic is flowing, but you make all the lights and you, how did I get to work so quick? That's what's going on with Earth. Earth is in the sweet spot. In the Milky Way galaxy, Earth is what they call the inhabitable zone of the Milky Way galaxy. You can kind of see up there, we're kind of at the, right at the edge of one of those fingers. And what makes it great is that we're at the right distance from our sun, number one, keeps us warm, but we are far enough away from other stars that we are not bombarded with different types of radiation. Pulsars, other type of gamma radiation, solar winds. And what makes life inhabitable here is our atmosphere, the water, the right balance, really, of everything. They said in astrobiology and planetary astrophysics, the galactic habitable zone is the region of a galaxy in which life might most likely develop. But what makes Earth also such a great spot is that we are not around a cluster of other stars. Again, radiation purposes, but if that wasn't the case, we would not be able to see the rest of the stars. What Ted read, or what Robert read in the beginning, and what played at the beginning of service, that God made the universe. And he, if we were in any of these deeper clusters of stars, sorry about that, any of these deeper clusters of stars, it'd be so much bright light that we couldn't see. We'd have the moon, we'd have our sun, but there'd be other stars around that would kind of block out what we see. We wouldn't be able to gaze up and see the planets moving around. Venus, Saturn, Uranus, Mars, Jupiter. And some people will look at that stuff and say, that's neat. As Christians, we know from the very beginning, God created the universe. This is what he did. He made our world that we can enjoy, but he also made the stars that we can look up into heaven and think, oh my gosh, this is so good. This is great. Kepler 54b is a planet that astrologers have found, and they're saying that it has the right composition of water. There is some atmosphere there. It is in what they call an inhabitable zone. and circling a star. But there is so much radiation coming from that star that it has stripped away its atmosphere. Even though they say it's in that zone of livability, they're saying that no life could exist there because of all the radiation that is hitting that planet. Everything has to line up. Earth is in the sweet spot. We are exactly where we needed to be, where God placed us. Romans. Let's read that again. Romans 1, 18 through 20. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You can look up at the heavens and think, wow, that was just placed there. There were no cameras when I was growing up. Well, there was cameras, but there was no cell phones, no video cameras. Thank you, Lord. Because what I'm about to tell you is something I won't explain why or how we did it. But when me and my younger brother would blow things up, it did not make anything except a mess and a big hole. So when someone says the Big Bang Theory, in theory, an explosion that created all this, you, me, put Earth in the inhabitable zone, made you and me, made dinosaurs, made birds, chickens, alligators, everything. I've seen after effects of pressure cookers exploding. Make a pot of beans. Somebody takes the lid off too early, too much pressure, and it shoots all over the ceiling. It did not make a cake. It made a mess. It made your mom mad. Anything that explodes, the people in the military, the ordnance disposal people, will tell you it doesn't make anything except a big hole, except a big mess. It does not create anything. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Astronomy is the study of everything in the universe beyond Earth's atmosphere. That includes objects we see at night with our naked eye, like the sun, the moon, the planets, and the stars. It also includes objects we can only see with telescopes and other instruments in far away galaxies. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right from the very beginning, we challenge everybody. We challenge science. No, we don't. We don't challenge science whatsoever. We don't challenge anybody. We challenge their belief. There are many famous scientists who believe in God. One scientist says that science and God are opposed. And he says, they are opposed as much as my finger and my thumb. And once I close it together, I can grab all things. God is outside of science. When we look up and we see the orbiting planets through a telescope, and we think, this is awesome, this is great, but it's just an accident. That's not giving glory to God. In the very beginning, we believe that God created the universe. There's no second guessing that. There's no hemming and hawing. God created the universe. That's what we believe. How he did it? Spoke into existence. How? I can't wrap my mind around it. Science will try to exclude God because they cannot explain it. Science needs to be explainable, tested, retested, before it comes a fact. It's still called a theory because they're still trying to figure it out on exactly how it happened. They said something exploded. In the universe, there was nothing. There was gases that combined to a high pressure to a certain focal point and then exploded. Well, where did the gases come from? Where did the explosion come from? When they tell you this, it's still a theory. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from night, and let them serve as signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. First Corinthians 15. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun is one kind of splendor, and the moon another, and the stars another, and stars differ from stars in splendor. Milky Way galaxy is not the only galaxy. Thousands upon thousands of galaxies. This is from the Hubble telescope. And they just zero it in on one here, and they're showing a different type of galaxy and different types of stars. And all of those that you're seeing there are different galaxies millions of light years apart. It's not like they're right next to each other. Some galaxies are actually starting to get closer to each other and start colliding with each other, and they are estimating that it may happen in the next 10 million years. And they're saying that's just, according to astrophysics, that's just right around the corner. But God created all this. God made all this. Are there other life on other planets? I don't know. I don't care. If God knows, God knows. Of course he knows. He made everything. And you're saying, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? You'll probably have lots of questions to ask. How did this happen? Why did this happen? Can I see it? Can we see it now? In the book of Job, I always have a hard time finding Job. Right. Let's go here. Actually, let's go to Psalms. Psalms 8. Three and four. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Different type of stars, different sizes, different gravitational forces, different compositions. When God spoke to Job in Job 9, Job talked and said, he is the maker of the bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations of the south. That is the Hubble telescope. That is what's orbiting Earth at this moment. Space shuttle put it up there. Space shuttle goes up there every once in a while to repair it. And once they stop the shuttle program, they haven't had a chance to repair it. The James Webb telescope, I think I saw it. I didn't see it personally in pictures. I think it's 10 stories tall. And they launched that. And they put that out, not into orbit, but launched it into deep space. And they're trying to take pictures, what they would say is the beginning of the universe. Light travels at a certain speed, and they see that visible light coming to us, and they estimate that it is peering back close to the Big Bang, time of the Big Bang. In Job 38, 31 and 33, this is God speaking to Job. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth constellations in their seasons? Lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of heaven? Can you set up God's dominion over earth? The Pleiades is a cluster of stars. Over 25,000 individual measurements of the Pleiades stars are now available. And their study leads to believe the important discovery, the whole cluster is moving in a southly direction. Kind of like a cluster of birds flying. Can you bind them together? Did astrologers know that? No, God did. Is can you bind them together? Can you hold all these stars together? And they're moving close together in a south direction. Can you loosen Orion's belt? Orion is a cluster of stars. I'm sorry, not a cluster of stars, a group that they can see. You see it kind of as a cluster of stars that are moving independently, but they are so far apart that they look like they're still together, but they are moving further and further and further away from each other, something that's imperceivable with the naked eye. And you lead out the bear with its cubs. The bear, Arcturus, the brightest star that you'll see up there, is a very large star. If you look up in the sky, that's the Big Dipper. That's what you see at night. God talks about these things before there was the Hubble telescope, before there was the James Webb telescope. All those stars. Go to the next picture, if there is one. There should be. Nope, that's Job. When the next one. You see stars, but for the most part, those are distant galaxies. And God holds the entire universe in his hands. He named each star by name. Go to the next slide. Next one. I guess he missed up one. Let's see if we have it there yet. Next one. One more. Nope. I guess we went backwards. One of the best times that I'll have camping is up in Colorado, and there's no city around. There's no lights around. You have a fire going, and you're laying on a lounge chair, covered in a blanket because it's still kind of chilly, and you're looking up at the stars, and your eyes get used to it. And every once in a while, you can see a satellite go by. You know it's a satellite because it's at a nice steady pace way up in the sky. It's not a plane flashing lights. And you can time it. And it might not be the same one, but you see in the same pattern, satellite moving again, right in the same path. And you're looking and you see, well, I see the sky looks like a little cloudy there. That wasn't clouds. That was just the cluster of the stars, the Milky Way. And that's what we see. And we see God's glory. Now, the difference between astronomy and astrology. Astronomy is the study of stars. Astrology is a pseudoscience that claims to discern information about human affairs, terrestrial events, by studying the movement and relative position of celestial objects. Pseudo, meaning sham, spurious, not genuine. I do not blame the stars for my stupidity. I am stupid all on my own. But people will try to blame it on the movement of planets. One of the gravitational forces here is our sun and the moon. The moon will take care of the tides. The sun keeps us in orbit. But gravitational effects from different planets, different star clusters on Earth do not affect people's attitudes, thoughts, actions, life. But instead of taking responsibility for their own life, they'll look in the newspaper under a horoscope and try to figure out what their next step should be. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4:19. And when you look up at the sky and see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the heavenly array, do not be enticed to bowing down to them and worshiping things that the Lord your God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven. Worshiping creation rather than the Creator. Isaiah 47:13. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward. Those stargazers who make predictions month by month, let them save you from what is coming upon you. In the book of Daniel, Daniel had to contend with the astrologers, stargazers of his day. And Daniel trusted in God. God is the creator of everything. In the beginning, God. That's the foundation. God created. God created for our viewing pleasure, His fingerprint is all around us. We don't even have to look up. We can look down. We can look at the earth that He made on how it was formed. We can explore the oceans. We can look at the creatures that He made. We can look at each of us individually. We can look at the trees, the plants. We just continue to look around. And people want God to speak to them. God has shouted. God has left His fingerprint for everyone to see, for everyone to explore. He gave us His word. And we talked earlier about communion. He sent his son to die for us. It is one of the most critiqued event in human history. For and against. There is so much evidence to see. And what you reread in Romans 1, men are without excuse. I hear people talk about on the radio, atheists, other scientists, and they'll say, if there is a heaven, and I get to heaven, I am going to stick my finger in God's face and told them there was not enough evidence. There's plenty of evidence. I don't think this person has a concept of who God is, number one, but even what a God would be. In his unbelieving mind, do you think you're going to go to a king, even a king, earthly king? Pick Nebuchadnezzar. Do you think you're going to go to Nebuchadnezzar and stick your finger in his face and tell him he's wrong? There's going to be so much fear before you stood before him. Even as you approach, when you're driving into Albuquerque late at night, you can look in the distance and see the haze of what people would call, astrologers or astronomers would call, light pollution. And you can see the haze of light, you know you're getting closer. If getting to heaven was on a journey, before you even became in the presence of God, you would see God's glory. And every step closer to God, there would be a fear gripping your heart like an ice-cold hand. And I say that even as a Christian because of his awesome glory and splendor. And I am one of his sons. And I know, even though I know his promise, to stand before an awesome God, I believe my knees will be shaking. I know that Jesus has paid for my sins. I know that I am saved. But you get in trouble at school, and you come home, and you know your mom and dad love you. But there's going to be that little bit of fear because you did something wrong at school. And you know you're in trouble. But when you get to heaven, you're not going to be in trouble. As a Christian, you're not in trouble. But that power, that splendor, that glory, even when an angel came to earth, what was the first thing they said? Don't be afraid. Why? Because you were afraid. Because that splendor of that them reflecting God's glory when they came to talk to that person, they were afraid. Christ walking out of the tomb, the guards fell down like dead men. God's glory is written everywhere. We talked about the universe. We talked about his glory. We talked about his splendor. David's coming back. I prayed for him. Don't get hurt. Come back, please. But next time that I speak to you from here, we'll be talking about the microverse. We'll be talking about the tiny things, the very small things that you see, that you can't see, that in the very beginning scientists wrote off as simple, nothing, insignificant. But the closer you look, the more of God's glory, the more of His fingerprint, the more of His testimony you'll see. God is an awesome God. Father, thank you for this great and glorious day. Thank you for this place that you made for us. Thank you for us seeing your handiwork spread across the universe. Us seeing everything that you made from the beginning. Just by speaking the word, let there be light. Lord God, thank you for the mercy, the grace you show us. Thank you for being an awesome God and on your throne. Thank you for paying for our sins. Forgive us where we fall short. Strengthen us as we strengthen other people, as we encourage one another. We pray for your coming. And we pray that you're honored all over the world by your family. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.